2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Olson, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, is it out? Is it out? Do we have a schedule yet? Should be coming out here momentarily. It is out. Here we go. The football schedule is out for the Big 12, which means BYU's first year in the Big 12, and we have ourselves a schedule. And joining us here momentarily will be Jake Hatch to help break it down. Because, hey, this is a big deal. Look, it's a big deal when BYU got that first Pac-12 schedule. It's a big deal now that BYU's in the Big 12, their first schedule. And we'll chat with Jake Hatch. Oh, Jake's there. Right out of the gate. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Scotty. How are you?
I am good. You ready to go through this thing? I am looking at this for the first time. I'm looking at your tweet, actually.
Let's have some fun with it, shall we?
Let's do it. All right, so... no big surprise. Sam Houston State, Southern Utah, Arkansas. Okay, we'll get those out of the way. The first game in the BYU Big 12 era is on the road taking on Kansas.
Yep, the Jayhawks, the resurgent squad of the Big 12 this past year. That's your opener. You're going to go to Lawrence, Kansas. Which be a fun one.
Which, by the way, again, people might roll their eyes. Kansas, now they kind of tapered off a little bit at the end of last year, but Kansas has got things going. Lance Leipold is, I've been a huge fan of his for a long time. He's never, everywhere he's gone, he's won, and a tremendous coach. So that is not an easy way to kick off the Big 12 schedule. Your first Big 12 home game comes the following week when they take on the Bearcats of Cincinnati. So the first of the new guys to the league take on each other against, or will take on each other in Provo, Cincinnati. What are your thoughts there?
Well, see, this is the traditional general conference slot, Scotty, so it's actually a Friday match.
Oh, okay.
Cincinnati making the trip to Provo on a Friday night ahead of LDS general conference, so kind of interesting to see if this is going to be a annual thing, if it's Cincinnati and BYU on conference weekend, similar to what Utah State and BYU was for many, many years, or if this will be a rotating cast of different games.
We'll interesting. Well, it's good the Big 12 is working with them a little bit on that, too. All right, so then you have
a
bye week after that. And then you play three out of the next four on the road, including the following week when you hit the road to take on the team that just played in a national championship game. You're at TCU, taking on the Horned Frogs as an old Mountain West Conference rivalry is reignited.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. Obviously, TCU and BYU have their history from the Mountain West Conference, even going back to a short period in the WAC as well. I think that both fan bases are excited for that one. But as you mentioned, three of these four on the road. You can go with the next one, Scott. This is an interesting one to me, is the one that's the only home game in the bunch.
Yeah, the only home game in this four-game stretch. You go at TCU, and then, wreck 'em, get those guns up. Texas Tech rolls into Provo the following week.
Yeah, Joey McGuire, their head coach at Texas Tech, has kind of reignited what's going on with the Red Raiders, and they seem to be a program that's very much on the rise. And it should be interesting to have them in Provo for the first time ever. They actually only played one other time in their history, Scotty, way back in the 1920s, if I recall correctly, BYU and Texas Tech squaring off. So this is one of the teams that BYU has very rarely seen. Should be interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of history with a lot of these schools, but Texas Tech certainly is not one of them. That's a good point. All right, now you have back-to-back road games, starting with a team that's on its way out. It's not Norman. No, you're heading to Austin to take on Texas. Taysom Hill's not walking through that door, but should be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, obviously, the last time they played there, Taysom Hill literally leaped, ran, jumped, and just absolutely dominated Texas. Should be an interesting one down there at DKR Memorial. A lot of BYU fans have good memories of the last time they played there. Should be interesting to see the two reunite once again down there in Austin.
And then, again, we mentioned three road games in a four-game stretch. This is going to be the first big one in terms of just flat-out mileage. They hit the road to take on West Virginia.
Yeah, you got to go clear across the country, Scotty. And I wondered if they were going to get one of these games, whether it was UCF or West Virginia, having to go all the way to the East Coast. And it is the Mountaineers. And frankly, just with how Neil Brown has been trending at West Virginia, Scotty, this seems like the relative layup in the entire bunch of all the Big 12 games BYU's got on this schedule.
No, you bring up a good point, too. Neil Brown was right there on the edge of getting fired at the end of last year. They keep him in place. If it's not going well, they probably make a midseason move on Neil Brown. Yep. If it's not going the way that they would like it to. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all if you're looking at an interim coach when you take on West Virginia that late in the season.
Oh, absolutely. There's a massive concern about that. But at the same time, if that does happen, it's better for BYU having to make that trip against a team that has an interim coach.
Yep. All right. So the knock on, and look, I had nothing but love for Tom Holmo and putting Independence together. I think it was the right move. Obviously, they had to do it. But the knock on Independence was you don't play meaningful home games in November. Well, that it is now. Those days are behind us because you've got back-to-back home games. Let's start with Iowa State, the home of Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Iowa State obviously did not have a great year last year, but they've got a highly regarded coach, Matt Campbell, that it'll be interesting. Obviously, the Cyclones are kind of a hard-nosed football team, similar to what Kalani Sitake aspires for BYU to be. This is one that I think is going to be an interesting matchup because, similar to West Virginia, Matt Campbell, like I mentioned, didn't have a good year last year. I don't think he's in danger of getting fired, but is it a question of is his team going to be the same caliber as they were last year, or will they be a little bit better this coming season?
Yeah. And then here you go, Boomer Sooner rolling into Provo, second to last game of the season. Oklahoma rolls into Provo. This is, I mean, again, I know Oklahoma's on its way out, but if you want to feel good about the trajectory of BYU in the Big 12, you have a home conference game in November against Oklahoma. Let that just sink in for a moment.
Well, I tweeted this out, Scotty. I wanted to be greedy on one thing with this schedule. I wanted to see Oklahoma playing in Provo. Texas has played here. Most of these programs outside of Texas Tech have played a game in Provo. Oklahoma has never done that. BYU's previous matchups against the Sooners have been in neutral site matchups, bowl games, and obviously that one in 2008 down there at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. So this is huge. And the best part is, Scotty, it's senior day, senior night, whatever they decide to schedule it for. This is about as good a game to finish off your home slate of games as you could have hoped for the first year in the Big 12.
And then finally, you wrap up the regular season. I don't know if this is not the Pac-12 where you're trying to force a rivalry, but you're going to lovely Stillwater, which I'm sure is great in late November, and you take on Oklahoma State and the Cowboys to wrap this thing up, which another great opponent, too.
Yeah, he's a great opponent. Mike Gundy's under some pressure right now because of all the defections he's had within his coaching staff and even his roster this year. Who knows what Oklahoma State looks like at that point? But knowing what Mike Gundy does, Scotty, it seems like he has a bad year, then he responds with a really, really good year, it feels like, in many ways, during his time at Oklahoma State. This is a great way to finish off the season. And it's not an easy November slate, honestly, because you got at West Virginia, home to Iowa State, home to Oklahoma, and finishing at Oklahoma State. Well, if you want to play spoiler, in theory, for BYU, that's a great way to have that final stanza of your season line up.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it's interesting, too, when you look at this thing. As you mentioned, four home games, five road games to start off Big 12 play in a nine-game schedule. And, you know, you balance that out with two home games in your non-conference schedule. So, but you also throw in at Arkansas. So you've got essentially six road games at P5 opponents. I mean, this is BYU's played some difficult schedules. This is right up there with them.
Well, yeah, exactly. And Scotty, we've talked about this in the whole lead-up to BYU actually joining this conference, is that they've played, I've kind of termed it, I don't know if I'm the only one who said this, but I've always said that BYU tried to play a Power 5 adjacent schedule. They've tried to schedule it up as much as possible, but this is the real deal now. Nine conference games, all of them Power 5 opposition, and as you mentioned, you also had Arkansas in there. You've got 10 straight games after your first two games against Sam Houston State and Southern Utah, which are relative just dogs that you're supposed to beat. You're going to be 2-0 probably, but then the next 10 games really determine your future. Are you going to go 2-10? Are you going to be able to grind out six wins? Who knows? But it's a whole new world out there for BYU as they get ready. And that's part about this, Scotty, and PK mentioned this morning, is this is another step towards it being quote-unquote real for BYU. Yeah, we finally know what they're doing this fall.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and I think that's why everybody was waiting on pins and needles. I mean, we all knew they were playing a Big 12 schedule. I mean, we knew it was happening, but seeing it on paper and seeing your tweet and seeing the dates attached to it, it just hammers home a little bit more like, okay, this is real now. This is very, very real what BYU's got in front of them. And I remember when Kyle Whittingham in Utah played that first game in the Pac-12 and everybody was all fired up in that first season, and he got done with his non-conference. And I remember a walk-off interview. Their first game was a trip to USC to take on the Trojans. And somebody said, hey, are you ready? He's like, it was all fun and games until we actually start playing games. You know, and it's been fun. BYU fans have been loving life, and for good reason. You're in the Big 12. You're part of the party now. There's a lot to celebrate. But then all of a sudden you're looking like, oh, okay. So, yeah, we are going to Texas, and we are going to West Virginia, and we are up against a resurgent Kansas team. Like, this is real now, and it may not be as easy as a lot of people thought it might be.
Well, and that's the thing about this, Scotty, is that I hope that BYU fans are under no illusion that they're going to waltz into the Big 12 here and immediately be a power player. I think that we all can point to, yes, what Utah went through in their transition to the Pac-12. They came out of the gates pretty strong that first year, but the following two seasons, we all recall it, the 5 and 7 years that Utah struggled with, and we were all wondering, okay, can Kyle Whittingham make the leap here? Can they ultimately become the program that they aspire to be? Well, 12 years later, they have done that. Back-to-back Rose Bowls, four conference championship game appearances, two Pac-12 titles in that bunch. So there is a framework and, a path that Utah has walked that BYU hopefully can follow a similar circumstance. But I would just caution any BYU fan out there to not be thinking that, hey, well, you know what we're going to do? we're going to waltz into this conference and immediately win 8 or 9 games. That just does not seem tenable. I think 6-6 should be the benchmark for success this year for BYU.
All right, so you've seen the schedule. We just broke it down. How comfortable do you? And again, it's still early, and we, you know, injuries are going to take a big part of this, and there's a lot of different storylines. But do you see six wins here?
Well, I think Sam Houston State and Southern Utah, you scheduled those as wins, so that's 2-0. I think that Arkansas, BYU will have a little bit of a payback factor as they go down there to Fayetteville after the debacle they had this year. We all know that Elisa Tuiaki offered to step down from his position after that game. So I think there's going to be some revenge on the mind there. So BYU can get out of the gate 3-0 potentially, or 2-1. That's a decent start. Now, you look at the rest of the games. Kansas, yes, they were resurgent but struggled down the stretch. Can you pick them off? Can you beat a Cincinnati who you've beaten while you were an independent? We already mentioned that West Virginia and Iowa State had down seasons this year, and both of them could be having coaching issues at that point. So I think those are the games, Scotty. The first three, your non-conference, you involve Cincinnati, West Virginia, Iowa State, and then I think at the end of it, maybe Texas Tech might be the deciding factor of you getting to 6-6, or if you're having a losing season your first year in the Big 12. Because the other ones to me, I'm scheduling. I'm looking at them as losses.
Yeah, TCU. Do you think Texas? How about this, man? It would have been fun. I'm with you on the whole Oklahoma thing because we haven't seen Oklahoma, as far as I know, in Provo. But it would be fun to see Arch Manning in his first year playing in Provo.
Sure, that would have been fun, and who knows? If these two programs do stick around for the 2024 schedule, it may get flipped and Texas comes to Provo and you go to Oklahoma. Who knows what that looks like? That is how it's going to work out. But, yes, it would have been nice to see Arch Manning in Provo, but I think BYU fans, they've seen Texas in Provo before. I think they wanted to see Oklahoma just to have some of these big dogs in Provo. And if I'm not mistaken, Scott, I'm just looking at this. This is something I'm noticing, and actually somebody tweeted at me about, is that BYU may be the only team of the newcomers into the conference that plays both Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was trying to look at that as well. I think you're right.
Scotty, that to me screams that ESPN may be having a role here saying, hey, BYU brings eyeballs. We want them playing against these big dogs because we know it'll be a ratings bonanza for us.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I kind of assumed that they would get some of the newcomers and get a good chunk of them, like Central Florida, like Houston. But they only got the one. They only got Cincinnati. I thought there's probably a good chance they'd get all three or two out of three. You play a lot of the original Big 12s and only one of the newcomers.
Yeah, correct. That is the interesting part about this. And based on what I'm seeing, Scotty, it is that Oklahoma and Texas, the only common newcomer they have is BYU. But you're right. The old guard, the guys we call them, the original eight here that are going to be sticking around in the conference, BYU only gets one of the newcomers outside of that. So this is a stout schedule.
Yeah.
Honestly, like top to bottom, this is going to test BYU to their absolute limit. We've all talked about how BYU's depth issues have come to the forefront, especially in some of the recent seasons with those bigger schedules they've faced. This is just a huge test for Kalani Sitake. So he's biting off a lot, and we'll see if he's able to chew it and maybe make some hay of all this.
So the three schools that BYU will not play is Houston, Central Florida, and Baylor is not on the schedule. So the only other traditional school that BYU will not play is Baylor. And honestly, just from – I know, you know, Kalani may disagree with this because it's, as you mentioned, a very difficult schedule. But in terms of – the quality of the schedule in terms of entertainment and eyeballs, I don't know if you could ask for much better than what you got here.
Yeah, it sets up really nicely. And the nice part is you're going to have some TV windows here, Scotty, because we all know that BYU's been playing late nights. We all know that. They're the Western branch of this Big 12 conference. So the nice part is you have some of those early home games, Sam Houston State, Southern Utah. They may not be night games, but if you want to put them at night, that's a great time of year to have them in the early part of the schedule. Cincinnati in late September, still pretty decent weather. But then you have Texas Tech coming in October, and then in November, Iowa State and Oklahoma. Well, with the cachet that Oklahoma has, you would imagine that an ESPN or a Fox or something like that may look at that and say, you know what we want that to be? We want that to be an afternoon kick or an early evening kick where it's on national TV all across the country. So, yes, in terms of the eyeballs, the entertainment value for the schedule, as BYU fans, should be very, very excited because it's got some really, really fun games and a chance to really kind of kick off the Big 12 era in style.
So in case you're just joining us, Big 12 schedule looks like this. September 23rd at Kansas. Cincinnati at home on Friday, September 29th. Then a bye week at TCU, October 14th. Then Texas Tech comes in town, October 21st. You're at Texas on October 28th. You're at West Virginia on November 4th. Saturday, November 11th, you will be home against Iowa State. Oklahoma comes to Provo on November 18th. And then Oklahoma State, you'll be in Stillwater on November 25th. But a really fun schedule for sure. Before I let you go, give me your thoughts on any surprises coming up tomorrow on signing day, or is this class for BYU pretty much locked in?
They did the vast majority of their work in the early signing period, like most programs, Scotty, but they do have a running back they're hot in pursuit of, a former, I'm saying former Stanford. I think he's still technically committed to Stanford, LJ Martin. He's a kid from El Paso, Texas. BYU is very much hopeful that he will flip and sign with them tomorrow. He'd be a really nice get. He's a high three-star, low four-star prospect, depending on which recruiting site you look at. He's really kind of the headliner for BYU tomorrow. I'm not expecting more than two or three guys to really sign national letters of intent. There will be a bevy of guys who are preferred walk-ons, but they don't get announced by BYU. But the big name tomorrow for BYU, yeah, keep an eye on LJ Martin out of El Paso, Texas.
By the way, I'm looking at this Ross Dellinger tweet. The Big 12 may have given Texas and Oklahoma maybe a little pat on the back on their way out. So Texas has to play at Houston, the team that they really didn't want in the conference, but Houston is there. And then Oklahoma actually gets three out of the four new members, two of them on the road, including a trip to Utah in mid-November. So, yeah.
That's how you do it. Yeah, you don't give them a bye before the Pac-12 championship.
Exactly.
That's how you do it.
Here's the other thing about that, guys, is that BYU was supposed to play USC the final week of the season, and when they joined the Big 12, that left that big hole in the Pac-12 schedule. And frankly, I'm stunned that they still gave them that bye week, because it does set up USC nicely, potentially, having a bye ahead of the conference title game. But in some ways, you can blame BYU and the Big 12 for that in the Pac-12.
So if Utah plays USC in the Pac-12 championship game, and USC has a week of rest, and they're comfortable and feeling good going into that game, Utah fans can blame BYU for that, is what you're saying.
In some ways, yes. And you know how these two fan bases get, Scotty. They can be really on each other, and I can guarantee you will see at least a tweet or two saying, thanks, BYU, if that does come to pass.
These fan bases don't reach for things to be upset about. What are you talking about? Calm, cool, and collect the whole time.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty, can I clarify one thing real quick? I'm seeing some people tweet at me about.
Sure.
There are people saying that, why is BYU playing two FCS games out of the gate? Let's clarify one thing. Sam Houston State is actually jumping up to the FBS ranks. They're going to be part of Conference USA. So it'll actually be their very first game as a football bowl subdivision member. They won the FCS championship just a couple years ago, but they are making the leap up. So they are actually technically an FBS team. It's not two FCS teams out of the gate.
That is correct. Yep. Good point. All right. Well, Jake, appreciate it. I want to get your initial thoughts on this schedule. And, of course, tomorrow on signing day, keep it locked. Follow Jake on Twitter. Does tremendous work. And, of course, the Locked On Cougars podcast. But, Jake, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for your help in breaking this thing down.
Absolutely, Scotty. Anytime. Thanks.
You got it. Jake Hatch, BYU insider, produces DJ and PK in the morning, and overall good dude, too.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.